The Redeemed Life Radio broadcast is a ministry of Redeemed Church, now meeting at Groove Nation Performing Arts Center, 3000 Columbia House Boulevard in Vancouver, Washington. Come experience Redeemed Church live this Sunday at 10:30.
Give thanks to God, for He is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Those He redeemed from the hand of the foe. Those He has gathered from every land. We testify to the work of His hand.
Hi, I'm Steve Livengood. My wife Shelley and I welcome you to the Redeemed Life Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Redeemed Church in Vancouver, Washington. The purpose of this radio broadcast is to bless you and build you up in your faith in Jesus. Now let's get right into this week's message. Well, we're going to begin a new series today called Blood That Speaks. Everybody say, Blood That Speaks. Yes. Amen. And our foundation text is out of Hebrews chapter 12, verses 22 through 24, and it says this: But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. Praise the Lord. The blood of Jesus speaks. Amen. And I like the comparison there to better things. Everybody say better things. Anybody in the house believe in God for better things? Well, you selfish thing, you. Well, that's what religion would say, right? If you're believing for better things, then you're selfish. Well, no, that's ridiculous, right? God put it in you to believe for better things. If you don't think so, just think about how it is in heaven right now. How many know when you get to heaven, you're going to get some better things than what you got right now? No matter how nice of things you have now, it's, somebody say, it's nicer there. Amen. I'm going to look nicer there. I'm going to be in better shape there, right? I'm not going to have the struggles of this life there. Amen. There's nobody in the ER there. Amen. There's nobody on welfare there. Praise the Lord. Nobody addicted to any substances there. Amen. Somebody say, it's better. It's better there, right? But my Bible says that we should be believing for His kingdom to come on earth just as it is in heaven. Praise the Lord. And so I picked this this image off of Google Images of a man being sworn in as a witness in a courtroom. And the blood of Jesus Christ is like a witness. No matter what you're facing in your life, what's the blood say about it? Somebody say amen. No matter what's happening or not happening in your life, what does the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ have to say about that issue? And I'll tell you what, if you're a believer, the blood is speaking for you. If you're not a believer, the blood testifies against you. Any believers in the house today? Anybody born again? Jesus Christ is Lord of your life. Then the blood is speaking on your behalf for you. If someone rejects Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their life, then that blood testifies against them, guilty. Amen. Right? But well, I'm talking to believers here, I know. And maybe somebody later is listening to this online or something and you're not a believer. Well, you can be a believer today. Somebody say today. You just open your heart and say, Jesus, I receive You as Lord and Savior of my life. I confess my sins to You and I receive my forgiveness of every sin. I receive the sacrifice that You made for me at the cross and I give You my life and You are born again, the Bible says. Praise the Lord. Has anybody ever prayed a prayer like that before? Amen. Well, that means you're saved. That means you're born again. I've been thinking of how to pepper that into just conversations with people. around, you know, where somebody says, hey, how's it going? Well, it's good to be saved. How about that for an answer? And they'll go, what? What is that? It's a door. It's a door opened. You're salting, you're sowing some seed into somebody's life. It's good to be saved. How about you? Saved from what? There you go. Right there. A chance to share your testimony. A chance to share your faith with someone. I was in a McDonald's recently. Funny story. At the end it was, anyway. And I was in West Portland, and in an area where I tend to see a lot of Jewish folks around. And I love seeing people that are Jewish folks with the kippah and the prayer shawl and that kind of stuff. I feel this the same as I do if I see somebody like a soldier somewhere or a police officer. I just want to say thank you. I just want to honor them and say, you know what? God bless you. Thank you for what you do. God bless you. Thank you for being Jewish. You are God's chosen people. The Lord bless you. I just feel like whenever I bless a Jew, I get blessed. My next door neighbor is Jewish and she's ornery. But she loves my kids like her grandchildren. And we'd sometimes go mow her grass and do things for her. And she's just a sweet lady. But I feel that there's an extra blessing because she is a Jewish woman. Amen? Just read the Bible. There's lots of blessings. If you bless Israel, you be blessed. Look at the nations of the world. If you hate Israel, cursed. Honor Israel, blessed. That's why it's important that we vote for people that honor Israel. That don't help Palestinians and people that want to blow Israel off the map. That brings me back to McDonald's. So I'm at McDonald's, and I see these Jewish guys over at a table having McDonald's, kippah, prayer shawl. I'm in line. I'm busy. I'm working. I say, you know, I gotta go say hi. You know, so I'm walking out, and I say, hey, Shabbat Shalom, and the guy goes, that doesn't mean anything to me, or something like that. I don't even know what that means. And there's three guys at the table, and the dude's got the kippah and the prayer shawl, you know. He replies that way to me. And I look at his friend, and he goes, we're Muslims. And I think, I'm just genuinely, oh, man, I'm sorry, sir. I thought that was a kippah and a prayer shawl. You go, oh, no, the Muslims wear these, kind of look like a kippah, but it was a Muslim-type cap. And it looked like a prayer shawl, but it was a Muslim garment. Totally, what do you say? And I was like, oh, man, I apologize if that offended you. And he go, oh, no, we're brothers. He go, and, you know, speaking of Muslims and Jews. And I was like, you know, I really apologize for how I approached you guys and my ignorance on this. I said, I'm a born-again Christian, and we just love everybody. And the guy starts going into, yeah, well, you know, we do acts of kindness and this and that, and so, but we don't proselytize. Well, if you want to become Muslim, you're welcome, but we don't proselytize. Like proselytizing is a cuss word, right? Preaching the gospel. I wasn't doing that. I was like, hey, listen, I'm a born-again Christian. We just love everybody. And I just chatted with him for a minute. It was really awkward, obviously. And then I apologized to the man again. I said, you know, I apologize for the awkwardness of this. I said, you guys just have a great day. Have a great day. And I left, you know. But I'm driving away. I'm like, Lord, I apologize to you. I thought I was blessing a Jew. And he said, he spoke in my spirit. And he said, you did bless a Jew. You blessed me by what you just did. And it just encouraged my, and he said, you know what they saw? They saw love. They saw love. They didn't see, you know, condemnation. You didn't get mad. You didn't judge. You didn't storm out of the room and act embarrassed. What they saw was my love firsthand. And so somebody say, even in our mistakes, God knows your heart. But he is into loving people and just blessing people, reaching out to people, even people of other faiths. Amen. That need to know the truth of the gospel, right? And maybe they saw the love of God there. Maybe it gave them a different taste of a Christian right there. Amen? Praise the Lord. God is so good. But in this foundation text, and we're going to talk today about some important things on God's calendar. Did you know God has a calendar? Amen? And it has everything to do with the nation of Israel, with the Lord, with everything that Jesus has already accomplished. How many know there's things that have already been accomplished and there are things that have yet to happen, right? But this has everything to do with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, everything to do with what he did. And that's the thing that the Lord wants to just stand out to us, is this is, has everything to do with Jesus and who he is. Amen? Did you know your God is alive? Your God is not dead. Your God is not made up by men. Your God is not a doctrine of a devil, right? You have Jesus as Lord of your life. Your God is alive. But I was reading in the Shemash, which is a Jewish commentary, right? And we're going to look at in Numbers 28, 29 and Leviticus 23. You don't necessarily have to turn there, but it goes through God's calendar, the festivals and feasts of the Lord. Amen. But I was reading in the Shemash this week, and this jumped out at me. It said, the festivals are days on which the people are invited to assemble. And did you know there's going to come a day, church, when the trumpet sounds and we all assemble with God in heaven? And every Sunday really is a reminder of that, right? When we assemble as a church, there is an assembly coming. And you look at that verse we just read in Hebrews 12. It says, but you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly. So the festivals are days on which the people are invited to assemble. And then he says this, the purpose of the festivals is spiritual elevation. Did you know when the trumpet sounds, which way are you going? Somebody say up. We're going up to meet with Jesus in the air. Praise the Lord. All of these festivals that we're going to look at, we're not going to look at the intricacies of the festivals themselves, but they all point to Jesus. But there are still people all over the world that celebrate these festivals, but don't see that. They don't see the connection, or they reject the connection, right? Because I'm supposed to somehow elevate myself and earn my forgiveness before God. This is not correct thinking. It's not truth. Jesus is the truth. The truth is, my sin was ugly, and so was yours, and everyone else that has walked this planet. Sin is ugly. Sin brings death, right? And there's no way I could save myself from it. Amen? Do you remember in you know, we're coming into the Easter Passover season, the resurrection season of Jesus. Do you remember the story of the religious leaders that were hurling insults at Jesus on the cross? What were they hollering at him? Save yourself. He saved others, but he can't save himself. He chose not to save himself because he was saving me and saving you. So there's nothing we can do in ourselves to earn the forgiveness of God. And every other religion in the world has a track for you to earn your way out. To earn your way out of tadpole status to frog status or whatever it is. You know what I'm saying? But somebody say, Jesus is the only way out. He is the only way out. So that blood is either testifying for me or against me, depending on what side I'm on. But Numbers 28 and 29 talk about offerings. The word offering is used a lot. The shedding of blood of animals during God's special days, special holidays. A lot of animals' blood was shed. Why? Because people had sins to be cleansed of. They were offering. The blood had to be shed somewhere. And if you remember that verse we just read again, when he says that the blood of sprinkling, Jesus' blood is better, says better things than that of Abel. Well, you might remember the story of Cain and Abel and how Cain, the first murder ever recorded, was Cain killing his own brother, slitting his throat, right? His blood spilled out on the ground. And then Cain buried he was jealous of his what? Why was he jealous? His offering. Because Abel's offering was better than Cain's offering. God was pleased with Abel's offering. He brought to him a sacrifice, and Cain brought him the leftovers. It was a heart issue, and God warned him. Well, Cain got jealous and killed his brother. And God comes to Cain and he says, I hear your brother's blood crying out to me from the ground. Blood, somebody say, blood speaks. Right? And what was that blood saying about Cain? Judged, guilty, rejected, separated, impoverished, sick, right? Guilty, all these things, awful stuff. That's why he says, Jesus' blood that cries out to me is says better things than the blood of Abel. In other words, forgiven, clean, healed, delivered, separated to God, not from God. You see? So his blood says better things to you than the blood of Abel. Leviticus 23. Hallelujah. Somebody say Sabbath. Say Sabbath out loud, right? Say Passover, right? Say Feast of Unleavened Bread. Say First Fruits. Pentecost, but that, yeah, Feast of Weeks. Say Feast of Weeks. Praise God. Say Day of Atonement and Feast of Trumpets, right? Or Feast of Tabernacles, rather. Amen. So these are the days on God's calendar, but they all signify something. Amen. Somebody say Sabbath. In Exodus chapter 20, verses 9 through 10, it says this, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. Somebody say the seventh day. And then 2 Peter verses 3 through 8, or verse 8 says this, but beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. So we can look at the days of creation that are outlined in Genesis, and we can say there was, each day signifies 1,000 years of creation. Amen? So let me read to you Revelation 20, right? That's toward the end of the Bible. Amen? He laid hold of the dragon, the serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up with a seal on him that he should deceive the nations no more. Somebody say no more, right? Till the 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of all those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshiped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Now listen to this. It's approximately 2,000 years from Adam to Noah, approximately 2,000 years from Noah to Jesus, and approximately 2,000 years from Jesus to now. Where does that put us in history? We're right about to enter in the 7,000th year. Right? That's exciting. Amen? Because all these things happen. The return of Jesus happens. All this stuff happens. This 1,000-year reign where Satan is bound up and cast into the pit, right, for 1,000 years. And he's talking about people reigning on thrones. Who do you think that is? That's you. And that's me, right? Jesus, he talks about kings and priests. So we are ever so close to this 1,000-year reign. So every Sabbath weekend, we ought to remember that. Every single day we wake up, it's a reminder. Every week as a cycle is a reminder that this is coming. This is coming. This is coming. This is coming. Amen? That's a glorious thing. And then Passover. Somebody say Passover, right? Exodus 12, verses 5 through 7. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight, and they shall take some of the blood and put it on. Somebody say, put the blood on. Amen. And this is symbolic. We'll look at John 1:29 there. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So Passover is Jesus fulfilled it, is the point, right? Jesus is the Passover Lamb. Somebody say, once for all. Once and for all, with his death and burial and resurrection, every person in the world can be saved. through him, through his sacrifice. So Jesus became the Lamb of God. So somebody say that's happened now, right? Jesus has fulfilled that. And his blood is speaking that that's been fulfilled. Then we move on, and this is all in chronological order, how it's laid out in the Word, right? The Feast of Unleavened Bread, Exodus 12, 15 through 17. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall remove leaven from your houses. For whoever eats leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. On the first day there shall be a holy convocation. On the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation. Just bear with me on this, okay? No manner of work shall be done on them, but that which everyone must eat, and that only may be prepared by you. So you shall observe the Feast of Unleavened Bread, for on it the same day I will have brought your armies out of the land of Egypt, and therefore you shall observe this day throughout your generations as an everlasting ordinance. And then 1 Corinthians 5, verse 6 through 8 says this, do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Therefore purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. This reminds us, you know, leaven symbolizes sin in this sense, right? So when Jesus died, sin died with him. He removed the leaven of sin, the consequences of sin, the curse of sin once and for all. Now, is sin still on the planet? Oh, yeah. It's trespassing, right? But this reminds us, Jesus died, he became the Passover lamb, and then he removed the leaven of sin from my life, which reminds me to do what? Somebody say repent. Stop sinning, right? So the return of Jesus is coming. He's paid the penalty of sin. Now I need to do what? Get saved. Respond in faith to what Jesus has done. The power of sin has been broken once and for all. That's what the blood says. The power of sin, the power of the devil has been broken. Amen. And you are born again if Jesus is Lord of your life. Amen. Then say first fruits. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with all your possessions, with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. And Revelation 1, 4 through 6 says this, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead. Somebody say firstborn, right? And the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests. There it is, right? To his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So this reminds us that Jesus rose again from the dead, right? He died. He poured his blood out, took the curse of sin off this planet, and rose again from the dead. And it says he's the firstborn, which means death has lost its victory once and for all over your life. Does anybody know anybody who has passed away? Right? Well, guess what? They didn't pass away. They're with God in heaven if they're born again, right? They're in heaven forever. This power of death has been broken. Amen. I know lots of people who are in heaven today. Amen? And Jesus was the firstborn. Why? Because he rose again. He rose again. Therefore, death has no power over you. We don't have to be, people are afraid of dying. Well, you don't have to be. Death is the ultimate promotion. Amen? But these are glorious things. So he's the first fruits. Somebody say that's already happened. Jesus rose again. And then somebody say Feast of Weeks or Pentecost. And it says this, John 16, verses 7 through 11. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, Jesus is speaking, right? For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, of sin because they do not believe in me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more, of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. I'll tell you what, man, there is more and more hatred toward the church than there has been in a long time, right? And it's from the folks that say don't hate. right? Why? Because they hate the truth. Jesus can be your Savior too. Amen. Well, that's we're talking about the Holy Ghost came. This Feast of Weeks, this Pentecost time, is the time that the Holy Ghost was poured out on this planet. Amen. And look at Acts 2 here, verses 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they all were with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Do you see God's calendar? Do you see it? Amen. The Sabbath period. You can see those years laid out. You can see the Passover and how Jesus became the Passover lamb. Somebody say that, you can check that off. Right? And the Feast of Unleavened Bread, how the leaven, the curse of sin, has been broken off this planet, and we can now repent from our sins, right? And receive the forgiveness. Somebody say, check that off, right? And then the first fruits, how Jesus rose again after 3 days. Right? And became the first fruit from the dead. And then the Feast of Weeks, Pentecost, the day the Holy Ghost was poured out. Somebody say check.
Thank you so much for joining us for the Redeemed Life Radio broadcast. Check us out on the web at redeemed-church.org. You can hear many free full messages there and get info on service time and location. You can also correspond with us by mail at P.O. Box 1248, Washougal, Washington, 98671. Until next week, this is Steve Livengood reminding you to keep looking up. Jesus is coming soon.